Incredible. Don't forget, guys, that we have another Christmas service next week. Pastor Andrew is going to be speaking next Sunday morning, so look forward to that. And then Christmas Eve, 10 o'clock as well. I want to talk to you this morning about finding your true king. In Matthew chapter 2, and verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came from Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Many of us have heard of the wise men, but who are these guys really? And why on earth would they care about a star shining in the sky? History tells us they were the Renaissance men of their day. People took notice of these men. They were the culture setters of their time. Many scholars believe they were kings and rulers themselves. Whatever the case, they were highly regarded astronomers and scholars. Culturally, we often assume that there were three of them because of the three gifts that were brought to the Messiah. But the scriptures never tell us exactly how many there were. Their job was to watch the skies. Day and night, they watched the skies, believing any movement in the constellations told them what the gods of the day were up to. For these men, for the most part, they were not Jews. They were not believers in the one God. However, they had studied scripture. They knew all about the promises of a foretold king. The prophet Isaiah, whom they had read, wrote, "Behold, the virgin shall come with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." It would be like today, someone who claims to have a Christian affiliation and yet has studied every Bible text so thoroughly, they know the Bible better than most Christians. And so we have these unbelieving, extremely learned Renaissance men watching the skies, waiting for something to happen, waiting to see if these promises would ever come true. It can be hard to make predictions based on the sky. Long days, moving from country to country, chasing hunches and theories, long nights staring up at a vast array of stars. It would be overwhelmingly lonely. But imagine that you were one of these wise men. You've spent your whole life searching, chasing, seeking for meaning. And then one night, you look up and see an explosion in the sky. This intense brightness breaks forth, and it is as if the hopes and fears of all the years are shining brightly. Questions begin to well up inside. Could it be? Could it be? Could it be? This is a star that we have studied. Is this the star that we have been chasing? And what will it mean if it is all true?
Hey, get up! Hey, Jesus! Would you get up, my dude? Wait!
It's me. What's wrong with you? I have to show you something.
It can wait.
No, it can't. Last night, I watched a new star appear in the sky. There was this crazy flash of light, and the ground shook, and when I ran out...
You need to learn to let go of these things. You're on borrowed time as it is already.
It's too late. They want my seal. Unless...
No. Good luck.
Please. I'll show you both.
No! I am not getting involved in this.
Listen. I won't go at all. I'll give you the coordinates. I have the coordinates. You can go.
I cannot trudge through the cold with an old man hunting for a saw.
Please! Something is happening.
Could be big.
What's the worst that can happen? Thank you.
So tell me again, why?
She read it inside of his helmet.
You said you had something to show me. So far, I'm not building yet. Is the back of your head leading me to my death?
Oh, wait, is that it right there?
Do you hear something?
You know what?
I do not.
Maybe I should go see.
Yeah, perhaps that's a good idea.
It's just an annoying animal.
Go on, get shoot! I got you. I gave you the wrong coordinates. I couldn't get you 2 miles in that direction. 9 miles?
What is this? Perhaps you can enlighten me on what exactly is going on here.
The father you saw.
You brought me all this way.
Confirm.
As of right now, there is no blue star. And as of right now, we are 3 men walking through the night, squinting at nothing. And as of right now, you're finished. You better let me have that.
These wise men go searching for the star. The Bible tells us that they were led to town called Jerusalem, to a king named Herod. He referred to himself as Herod the Great, which gives you some indication of the nature of the man. King Herod was a monarchical dictator. Whenever the Roman Empire wanted to expand their reach or conquer a new city or country, they would search the new land looking for a substantial king. And Caesar in Rome was looking for someone local who knew the people, but most importantly, someone who would play by the oppressive Roman ways, someone who would instill fear among the people. So when Rome overtook the Jews in Jerusalem, Herod, who was a governor at the time, was named king. Herod's regime was founded on renowned architecture, unexplainable overtaxing, and relentless fear. Everywhere Herod went, he built something massive. For instance, when there wasn't a close enough port for Herod to dock his ships, he built the first artificial harbour in the world, his very own piece of coastline. And when Herod wanted to be entertained, he built an auditorium that scholars estimate had over 500,000 seats. When Herod was on top of a mountain and he didn't like the view, he hired thousands and thousands of workers to literally remove another mountain so that he could have an unobstructed view from his residence. And the way that Herod paid for all these massive building projects was through exorbitant overtaxing. The result being the gap between the rich and the poor grew wider and wider. Herod's tyranny reduced people to poverty. But it didn't just stop there. Herod was one of these people that if you got in the way of what he wanted and desired, if you threatened in any way his kingship, This man was driven by fear and paranoia, and he would eliminate you. He once banished his wife and teenage son so he could marry a teenage girl. Another one of his wives he had executed because he thought her heart was wandering towards another man. And he killed three of his sons under the suspicion that they were plotting to take his kingship. King Herod was a paranoid maniac. And it is at this point of the story a baby is born. Rumors are swirling. People are saying that this child is the new king of the Jews. But this cannot be because Herod is the great king. Caesar has made it so. Herod will stop at nothing to protect his kingship. It is then that three wise men walk into town, having made a great discovery, and so Herod arranges a secret meeting. Try and get the video back up behind us. It's gone off.
Which one of you was responsible?
Ah.
Are these the foreign astronomers? The wise men that have been wandering my land with fancy telescopes but nothing to see?
I think so, sir.
You think so? Why are they the foreigners?
We're here because of something we've seen.
So, tell me, what is it you've seen?
A new star. And we thought you would want to be the first of them.
Of course. Well, thank you. Your service to the Empire is finished.
We've been following the star. We've been following it closely for a baby that's been born a new king.
Yes. Well, if you'd like to become indispensable as this king, you can find your way there and send word back. I'd like to offer my respects, of course.
Anything for a king.
You're a fool. and my thoughts for believing you.
Where will he go?
Doesn't matter. As long as it's far away from you.
Where will you go to?
If you say roughly, split up anyhow. You think I'm a fool too? Quick now. How will I find you? It's not leaving you where I find you. What do you want?
We're here to see a child.
The new king. As he said,
we're not here to make trouble.
This way. we came, we're lost.
I don't believe we are.
The final words of the wise men, the scholars, the ones who were everyone looked to for advice. We can't go back the way we came. It's not safe. Herod will kill us. One of them says, we are lost. There is silence for a moment, but the older wise man smiles and proclaims, I don't believe we are. I don't believe we are. The wise men found more than just a star. They found their true king. A king who brought peace rather than war. A king who gave and did not take. A king who sacrificed his life for yours and mine. A king who loved the world so much, he identified with us through coming in human form. The prophet Isaiah was correct. He is Emmanuel, God with us. God saw a planet and a people he cared for deeply. He saw these people spinning out of control. And instead of turning and looking the other way, he wrapped his son in human flesh and birthed him to blue-collar peasants in Bethlehem. The wise men had to deal with an ego-monarchical dictator king, but they did not cower or cave. They persevered, they continued their journey, and they found their true king. They found their king in that stable, in that place you would not expect, with people that you would not expect. God in the flesh, the long-promised king. The reason the wise men was able to say, I don't believe we are lost, was because they had found the hope they had been searching for their entire lives. The Bible says that the star hovered over the house where Jesus and Mary were staying. And when these scholars, these wise men saw Jesus, when they encountered this long-promised king, for the first time, the Holy Spirit revealed to them, this is King Jesus. He is the hope of the world. And the Bible says that they didn't know what to do and that they fell to their knees and they worshipped this king. They see the king for the first time. They can feel the love. They can feel the compassion, the forgiveness. It's like it blows their minds. All they can think is that he is so special. He adds value to their lives. He changes them. Their hearts are filled with the goodness of God. And they can't help but say, what a good God he is. It is from that moment the wise men know they must fulfill the purposes of King Jesus in their lives. These wise men were renewed in their heart through their encounter with Jesus. There's only ever been one true king. From eternity past to eternity future, earthly kings have come and gone. Stars have come and gone. But Jesus is still king. You can be proud of your king. You can love your king. You can identify with your king. He has shown you his goodness and kindness. You can feel his love close to you. You can have the favor of the king on your life. You can have a relationship with Jesus. He has gone to great lengths to save us. Accept today what he has done for you. I have had the odd conversation with a mate or two over the years who have known that I am a Christian, that I follow Christ, that I love Jesus as my true King. the conversation goes something like this. I had one of these just yesterday. You seem like a normal guy to me. Well, I think I am, yeah. And then they say something like, why God? I mean, you don't actually seem that weird to me at all. And here's my response. Yeah, I think I'm normal. I believe I am. But I've also come to experience a relationship with Jesus, the one true King in my life. I have truly found Him. I have been on the journey and I have found my King. I know He is real. When I pray to Jesus, I can hear His still, quiet voice. Nothing can take that away from me. He helps me to love others like I never could. He gives me wisdom I never had. And once you've experienced Jesus for yourself, like I have, you know your life will never be the same. You have a Savior, you have a friend, you have a go-to, you have an in-between. He's the Lord of all. And He adopts me into His family. He calls me His very own son. He treats me as one of His own children. He pours favor on my life and He secures my eternity. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, those who diligently seek Him will find Him. And the God of the universe coming in the form of a baby to be the redeeming, atoning sacrifice for you and for me. Jesus grew up quickly. He had one focus in His life, to die on the cross of Calvary to take away your sins and mine. He rose again. The victory He has made for His has been absolutely astounding. Jesus has eradicated death. He adopts us. He favors us. He guides us. And He blesses our lives, and that is the heart of Christianity. The direction of the wise men changed from that moment they met Jesus, their true King. Will you go on a journey of finding your true King today? Jesus, become the Lord of my life today. Can we stand to our feet, church, in these dying moments of this service? I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. Will you allow Jesus to become Lord of your life? Will you say with me in a moment, thank you for what you have done on the cross for me. Thank you for coming as a God that didn't need to humble Himself, but you did because you loved us so much. You wanted to give us a second chance at life. Thank you for living your life to save me. And if you believe that with all your heart today, will you acknowledge Him as Lord and the true King of your life? And I would like us right here, right now, to pray a prayer together. And everyone in this room, if you don't mind, please pray with me. And at the end of this prayer, you determine that Jesus is Lord of your life. Those of you who want to give Jesus the first time you've ever made a decision like this, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and pop it down again. And for those of you who know that you need to recommit your life today, maybe you've been to church a long time, maybe you've been a religious person, you would say that you are religious, but you don't actually have a relationship, you haven't been on that journey and truly found your King. Will you allow Jesus to become your King today? Will you allow Him to have a relationship with you?